You are listening to the Truth Proclaimed podcast. My name is Aaron Owens. I'm excited for a new series that I have started, and it's simply entitled What Jesus Thought About and then blank. I would love to hear your suggestions, any questions that you may have. If you want to insert into that blank what Jesus thought about any subject, we can talk about it, we can discuss it on our podcast. But today I'm going to talk about the topic of equality, what Jesus thought about equality. I think it's important to study this topic, what Jesus thought about, and to revisit this because we take for granted this generation. Many of our parents and grandparents were spiritual people. Many of our families came from the Christian church. So if per se your parents were not serious, hardcore church people, it's a great chance that their parents were. But then, you know, my generation came along. I'm 37, and many in our generation began to stray away from the traditional, what we consider the traditional beliefs. Many people have ventured into many different belief systems. They feel enlightened. So now you have this generation now, this young generation, that many of them have no idea about who Jesus is. They have no idea about what Jesus taught. They don't know what he taught. They don't know what Jesus stood for. They know the name, but they don't know what it means to be a Christian, and they definitely don't know what Jesus taught. I think proof of that is now, whether it was intentional or not, recently Don Lemon, CNN host, has a show on CNN. He began to talk about, I'm not sure of the discussion or the context that was going on at that particular time in the conversation, but he was talking about how Jesus himself claimed not to be perfect. But anybody who reads the Bible and studies the Christian faith, or anyone who is a Christian, knows that's the point of contention between those that are non-Christians that attack the beliefs of the Christian faith, as opposed to those who are. Those that oppose Christianity traditionally oppose the fact that any man could be perfect, and they know very well that Jesus claimed to be perfect because he claimed to be the Son of God, and he, the scripture teaches that he was without sin, and that is why he could be that sacrificial lamb to die for the sinfulness of humanity. So just right there, we find out that people don't know as much about Christ or as much about Jesus as we thought they did. So how many thousands of people walked away from that CNN episode with Don Lemon thinking that Jesus taught that he himself was not perfect? All right. So that lets me know that we need to talk about these things. On the flip side of that, we have many Christians out there, some Christians that maybe at times stray away, or not stray away, but shy away from this big social justice movement that we are experiencing right now because they are Christians. Now we can discuss that as well. So what did Jesus think about equality? The word equality is simply defined as the state of being equal in status and opportunity. So we know throughout history, number one, black people or African Americans, Negro, however you want to term, were brought here to America in slave ships. We were not brought here to be equals. We were brought here to this country, to America, to be slaves, to be inferior, to be considered and looked down upon as subhuman. The idea of being looked upon as subhuman lends to the fact of guilt, how people would have to deem us not human in order to oppress us in the wicked manner in which they did. So we were not, black people were not brought here to be equal. But the Christian faith teaches that, number one, and not even dealing with the Christian faith, the Judeo-Christian worldview says this: all men are created by God. Men and women are created by God. And not only were we created by God, but when God made us, we were made in the image and the likeness of God. So we were made in his image. In other words, we look like him. We have his image. We have his shape. We have, when you see God, you wouldn't see something that looked like a horse, but you would see something of the similitude of a man. We were made like him. We were made in his image and in his likeness. So we are like him. We have the ability to choose. We have the ability to choose right and wrong. We have the ability to think. We have a conscience. We were made in his likeness. We can create like he can create. All right? So we were made in his image and in his likeness. The Judeo-Christian worldview says that. So when we deal with the Christian faith and we look at Jesus, then we understand that Jesus came to address humanity. Equality is not something that can be given to you. Okay? From that Judeo-Christian worldview, we understand that equality is not something that can be given to you by another group of people, because they do not, no other group of people possesses equality to give. Because if another group of people could possess equality and give it, then they would be superior to the people that do not share that equality. Let me try to put this another way. I can't ask for another person to make me equal. I'm already equal. I have this equality because it has been given to me by God, because I've been made in the image and the likeness of God. So when we understand it brings forth such a radical view. When you look at it, you would think that the Christian faith, this docile outlook that, you know, we let people beat us over the head because we're going to turn the other cheek. No, it's not saying that. What it's saying is this: I'm not ever going to ask you for equality. I'm not going to ever ask you for freedom. This is something that belongs to me, and it is my responsibility to stand upon my own two feet and fight for that which God has given me. So when we look at it from a Christian worldview, we understand that this Christian worldview is not a docile religion. It's not a docile faith. It says this: because I am made in the image and likeness of God, you can't give me my equality. I must rightfully take what belongs to me. Well, let's get to the topic at hand. It's not what I thought about equality, but what did Jesus think about equality? Well, you might not catch it right off the bat. This particular scripture that I'm about to bring to you, it's been quoted over the years from Christians and non-Christians alike. It says this, John 3:16, I'm sure you've heard it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now look at that there. Maybe you have never, as many times as you have heard that scripture, you have never focused in on that one word. It's a long word, but it says this: whosoever. Now that word is very important, because every word that Jesus spoke was very measured, because he declared himself to be the Word of God. So every word that he spoke had to be true. It had to be measured. It had to be precise. So when Jesus said whosoever, it lets us know that that word had a meaning deeper than what we could ever grasp on the surface. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave. So God loved the world. He didn't just love the Christian. Equality. I'm dealing with equality. He did not just love the churchgoer. He did not just love the sexually moral. It lets me know that he loved the sexually immoral. He loved those that were not Christians. He loved those at that time that were not Jews. He loved those that were of other nations. Whosoever believeth in him, Jesus came to declare to the world that God still has love for his creation. That even though everybody is doing whatever they want to do now, and we bring it to our world today, everybody's doing what they want to do. But it's saying that God so loved the world that he gave. God loved the world. He loved black. He loved white. He loved Greek. He loved Jews. He loved Jewish. He loved Russian, that he gave his only begotten son. So it lets us know that Jesus came. Before we can even discuss what Jesus thought about something, we have to understand what he came for. He came to save the world that he loved. And he did not specify and he did not exclude, but he made it all inclusive when he said that whosoever. So the criteria, Jew, Gentile, gay, straight, whatever walk of life you come from, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But the thing about it is, when we come to him and we believe, that word believe happens, that word believe is not just to agree. You know, you say like, I agree that Jesus died. I agree that Jesus died for my sins. I agree that he rose from the dead. That's not belief. Belief is something that changes an individual. So we may come to him a sinner. We may come to him sexually immoral. We may come to him with hatred in our heart and racism in our heart. But when we come to him and we accept that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, when we believe in that promise, then the power of God, that belief that we have in him, works in us a change, and it changes us and conforms us to who he is, and we become like him. So we are no longer racist. We are no longer haters. We are no longer sexually immoral. We are no longer these things. But he invites everyone of all walks of life to come to him to receive that promise of salvation. So number one, when we look at what Jesus thought about equality, he says whosoever. Now we look at Jesus, okay, and then I digress a minute. As I look at the state of the world today, there's a great debate, whose lives matter. Does black lives matter? Does blue lives matter? Does brown lives matter? Does all lives matter? And we're caught up in this debate about something that is not really debatable. What came to my mind is recently the NBA player Jonathan Isaac, he decided during the NBA game, as everyone had been kneeling with their Black Lives Matter shirts on and kneeling during the national anthem, he decides to stand. And after the game, he's asked by a well-known reporter, you know, about why he chose to stand. He began to explain. But she asked him, so do you believe that Black Lives Matter? And I saw this on Twitter, and I had to tweet her saying, you know, I just couldn't understand how someone can ask a black man, does he believe that Black Lives Matter? So it's this whole ridiculousness of dealing with the idea of this of semantics, because if we believe that throughout the history of this country that all other lives have mattered except black lives, and then you say no lives can matter until all lives can't matter until black lives matter, and this is absolutely true. But what happens is when we begin to debate these things, then the focus shifts off of the real issue of inequality, and it begins to separate people that may have normally come together with others, but because of a polarizing subject matter, people are separated. And I think that's important to understand. We should be willing, and we should have a desire to want to come together by any means necessary with as many people that are willing to come together with us. So however we term the movement, as long as there is equality, as long as at the end of the day, the end goal is for all lives to matter. Now, what would Jesus have said? Well, I just quoted to you the scripture, and when you look at the environment that Jesus lived in is not very different from the environment that we live in today. The Jews, the Hebrew people, were a people that was subjugated by Rome. They were under the oppression of Rome, and they were a very proud people. They were people that had a vast national pride and a great history that dated back. They were a very intelligent people that preserved their history, as we know, because we have what we call the Bible today, the Old Testament, the Torah, and they preserved their history. They were very proud people, and they served God, and they did not want to be under the oppression of any nation, but they were under the oppression of Rome. Okay, and so when you look at it, black people have been under the oppression of the white power structure for 400 years. Well, the Jews were under the oppression of Rome during the time of Christ. And Jesus was very concerned about injustice, but what Jesus focused on, even in the church, he always focused on the injustice that was at the top. He always focused on he didn't judge the prostitute. He didn't judge the publican or the sinner. But if you ever see Jesus coming down on anybody, it was him coming down on the priest. It was him coming down on the what we would call religious leaders, those that were supposed to be the bearers of the good news. But in this scripture, when you look at the time that Jesus lived, it was a time very much like our time now, where racism was very rampant. But Jesus says this. He says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." He would have been more accepted. Jesus would have been accepted if he would have came with a national message, a message that was exclusive to only a group of people. And he was going to come, and he was going to restore the government of Israel and put the Hebrew people that were now on the bottom, put them on the top, because at that time their lives did not matter. A Jew could be killed at any time by a Roman. But Jesus did not go into detail with that, because Jesus was concerned with mankind as a whole. He realized that the true problem with racism, Jesus was not one that trifled with dealing with, I would say, the fruit of the tree as opposed to the root. If you're going, a very smart man, if he wanted to get rid of the fruit, he would cut down the tree. So Jesus deals with racism in this way. What did Jesus think about equality? Jesus thought that equality was important. But how did Jesus fight equality? That's what we have to ask ourselves. Because how Jesus fought equality, I believe, if you're a Christian, is how we should fight equality. But if you don't understand and know what Jesus taught or what Jesus thought about these things, then even if you call yourself a Christian, you won't be properly representing in this very polarizing world that we live in today. You won't be properly representing Christ, because you won't know what he taught and you won't know what he thought. The Bible says, study to show yourself approved unto God. We must study. We can't listen to what the Don Lemons of the world think that they know about Christianity, about the Christian faith. We must read the Bible for ourselves. How should we be approaching this movement as Christians? How should we, was Jesus against fighting for equality? Absolutely not. But how did Jesus fight? He says this, "I am going to cut down the tree." Racism is a fruit on a very vast tree. And on that tree is not just racism. On that tree is all kind of sin. The root of the tree is sin. The root of the tree is rebellion. Rebellion from God. So when Jesus says, I am going to come, I'm going to send my son, and I'm going to give him that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So it says this, when you come to Jesus, then he deals with the root of the tree. He deals with the sin. It's a sin issue. It's not a racism issue. Racism is a fruit that have been born from the tree of the sin of mankind. So Jesus was smart. He was the Son of God. He is the Son of God. He is God manifested in the flesh. He knows just how to handle the problem. But we going along now on our own little thing, trying to figure out for ourselves, looking to the world, looking to the media, looking to CNN and Fox News and CNBC, MSNBC to give us answers. And we're not seeking God to find out what God thinks about these particular issues. God cares about people being treated fairly, but the Lord wants to deal with racism along with the other issues that are going on in our world, and at the root cause being sin. When you have a world where sin is real, and sin is a rebellion against God, and if there was no sin, there would be no oppression. There would be no rebellion. There would be no racism. There would be no hatred. But as long as there is sin in the world and men are refusing to come to Christ, then you're going to have racism. You're going to have rebellion. And it doesn't matter who's on top. It doesn't matter who lives matter. It doesn't matter if in 1,000 years, black and brown people are the most powerful people in the world. There's going to be racial oppression. Black people are not good inherently. No man is good inherently. The Bible says the heart of man is evil and desperately wicked. So let's get off this thing that, thinking that white people over here are evil and are wicked, and black people over here are good, the good oppressed people, and we're so good, that we were in power, we would not treat others the same way. That's just unequivocally not true. But we must understand that sin is the problem. So he says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Love is the answer. We need love. And love is expressed perfectly through Jesus Christ. When we love, we give. He gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There was a woman who was a Samaritan in the scripture, I believe in the book of John. And the Samaritans were a nation that came into Israel during the time of Israel's deportation, when they were kicked out of their land and driven from their land and taken into slavery. Sound familiar? They were taken into slavery. They were taken out of their land. And during the time that they were out of their land, being taken out of their land by Babylon, Babylon sent people to Israel to live there and to live in the land. Babylonians and Chaldeans, nations, these groups of people went into Israel and lived there. And what happened is, over the hundreds of years after that, they began to learn the Hebrew religion. They begin to learn about the God of Israel. So after hundreds of years, and Israel began to come back, they began to come back after 70 years. But the years afterward, as Israel began to come back little by little, these people that were not true Jews, not true Hebrews, began to assume the identity of Hebrews, of Jews, and they lived in the land. And that was a great contention between the Jews and the Samaritans. So Jesus meets this woman who was of that nation, that hated nation. The Jews hated the Samaritans. And Jesus begins to begins to talk to her because she had a need. She needed something. She had a sin problem. And Jesus was not looking at color. He was not looking at where she came from. The Bible says that the Jews didn't even deal with the Samaritans. But Jesus began to talk with this woman and to deal with this woman. And after she talked with Jesus, the Bible says she ran into the city and began to tell everybody about Jesus. Jesus crossed racial barriers because he believed that even though he was a Jew, even though he was a Hebrew, and he believed that he held the keys to salvation, he wanted to deliver that message to every nation, that he would speak to a hated nation to bring them to God. So each individual must say this. You must say, my life matters. But why does my life matter? My life matters because I was made in the image and the likeness of God. That I am a son of God. I am a child of God. And because of that, my life matters. And because my life matters, because of the fact that I am made in the image and likeness of God, I acknowledge the fact that you being a man or a woman, whether you are a Samaritan, whether you are white, whether you are black, whether you are brown, whether you believe what I believe or whether you don't, I believe that you were made in the image and likeness of God, and I must respect you. I must allow you to exercise that equality that has been given to you from God. I cannot take that from you, because if I try to take that from you, I am defying the God that made you. Because the God that made you is the same God that made me. This is what it means to be a Christian. We must fight for equality for all people. And we must say this. Not all lives matter, black lives matter, brown lives matter, blue lives matter. We must say, like Jesus said, whosoever. And whosoever has been born in the image and likeness of God, and that's all men, that we're more alike than we are different. And when we realize that God cares about us, then we will realize and care about our own selves. And when we love ourselves and care about ourselves because God loves us and cares about us, then we will love others regardless of the color of their skin. Black Lives Matter is a true statement for all intents and purposes. But what we must understand is this. When the Lord looks at us, does he see black lives? Does he see white lives? Does God acknowledge, quote, black lives? Does God acknowledge, quote, white lives? How does God view life? How does God view his creation? These are questions that we must ask ourselves. What is a black life? What is a black life? We're dealing with colors here. Now, when we look at scripture, we see that God made all creation, that everybody came from two people, Adam and Eve. So when we have the introduction of different skin pigmentations, what we have is pretty much families that expanded and lived in different places and subjected to different climates over hundreds and hundreds of years and thousands of years. So we're dealing with a difference in skin color that is based off of geographical and environmental influences. But I understand the concept as a whole, because I would have to say that a quote, black life matters, if that's what you want to call me, because my life matters. But I think it's important to see, how does God view it? How does God see it? There are those that think that the Christian faith is a white man's religion. That's unequivocally false. It can't be further from the truth, because the Christian faith was founded by Christ. Jesus Christ. And if you do a little research, just a little, if you just get into it a little bit, you would find out very quickly, not only what Jesus thought, but you could find out a little bit about who Jesus was. Jesus would be what you call a black life. So if he is the founder of this religion or this faith, it cannot possibly be a white man's religion. But religion, of course, have been used over time to control people and have been contorted and twisted and misrepresented. And the Christian faith is no different. But we have to go back to understanding what Jesus thought. So what Jesus thought about equality, Jesus himself was of a people that were oppressed. So Jesus cared about equality. But he cared about equality not just for his people that were being oppressed, but he understood that the true oppression, that even the hater was oppressed by hate. Because the hater was oppressed by hate because he was oppressed by sin. So the person that is a racist, that is a hater, is being oppressed by something. And that oppression is influencing all mankind. So whether you're black, whether you're white, Jew, Greek, Gentile, whatever the nation, creed, or color, Jesus thought that all men were equally oppressed by sin. So he came and he gave his life so that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God bless you. I would love for you to comment and leave your thoughts. Leave me suggestions of what you would like to hear about next, what Jesus thought about. And let's learn about Jesus together. God bless you. This is the Truth Proclaimed podcast. And we thank you once again for listening. God bless you and goodbye.